testimonies this morning, probably more powerful than anything that I can say. But just to add my own testimony, as you know, I had COVID, and the last 3 months I've been pretty much out of it. And then about 4 weeks ago, we went on holiday, and up till then I tried to walk down the bottom of our garden and back once an hour to keep myself going. And then we were away, and I tried to walk up the hill at the back, and I got to the top, but I just had to come back home. By the end of the week, I could walk anywhere and do anything. It was just extraordinary. And I came back, and the last 4 weeks, I have a Fitbit, and Pauline has one, and I've walked further than her every week the last 4 weeks. I'm loving it. But thank you for your prayers. I know a lot of people have prayed for us over this time. So this morning, we're looking at 2 Timothy, and finishing off a series we've been doing in 2 Timothy. And it's chapter 4, verses 9 to 22. And the topic is not alone. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he's helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metalworker did me great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. It's a very personal passage, isn't it, where Paul is expressing his emotions and speaking to those that he knows. But you know, he's finding things tough. Do you sometimes find things tough and difficult? Difficult situations, facing uncertainty. Things you didn't expect to happen have happened. Life is a struggle. Maybe you feel you deserve better. Maybe you feel let down by God or by people. But things are not the way that you had hoped or wanted or planned. And we could consider Paul's situation this morning and a little bit the tone that comes in the passage. He says, Demas has gone in love with this world. Crescens has gone. Titus is in Dalmatia. Alexander did me a great deal of harm. Erastus stayed in Corinth. And I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Paul, you know, it's like he felt abandoned. He was finding it really hard. He was on his own, facing problems. He was in prison on trial for his life, for spreading the gospel. His accusers claimed that he caused trouble wherever he went, which is actually the Jews stirring up trouble, and proclaiming a king greater than Caesar. In the Roman Empire, nobody was greater than Caesar. In human terms, he was unlikely to survive. But he survived his first round of defense by the skin of his teeth. Alexander had spoken against him very effectively. But Paul had no one to stand up for him. In verse 16, he says, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. No one wanted to be linked to Paul and all this trouble that was stirred up and being in court and his life being at risk. and proclaiming a king other than Caesar. They didn't want to be linked to that and put themselves in the same place of danger. But you know, we can feel like that in a place of trouble, of loneliness, where we feel, you know, why me? Why is this happening to me? I remember the first time, or not the first time, but a time where I faced great loneliness and difficult situation. And it was at the rubber company many years ago. We'd faced difficult economic times, and I'd worked through some stuff and realized that we were going to have to make about 25% of our employees redundant. And that was a horrendous thing to realize. We'd become very old-fashioned. The world had changed very fast. The economy was moving. And unless we changed radically, we wouldn't have enough money to invest. We were losing money all the time. We wouldn't have enough money to invest to change in the way that we needed to. And that was a horrendous thing for me to be suddenly be faced with and to be carrying. I mean, these were men and women that I knew well, people that I had grown up with over the years. Some of them had worked for more than 25 years for the rubber company. And I just tried to find any way out of the situation. But it was slowly closing in on me. And eventually I brought a business friend in and said, look, there must be an alternative. What can we do? And he went through all the figures and looked at everything. And he turned around and he said, James, there is no way around it. You have to do it, and you know it. At that point, I just wanted to be a milkman. I just wanted to go down to Cornwall and be a car park attendant. I could think of lots of things I'd rather do. But it was a lonely place to be. I could share it with Pauline, who was a wonderful support. But it was a very lonely place to be to face this task. What did Paul do in that situation where he faced everything and stood alone? Verse 17 says, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. Here's the key, finding God's presence and walking with him in it. We're never alone if we actually draw alongside him. Paul also reflected on the fact that God had his purposes and was at work in and through him. Verse 17, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Now, Paul had a habit of declaring God in every situation. If you go and read Acts chapter 4 and 25, he's on trial before Felix. What does he do? He shares the gospel. And 2 years later, Felix is replaced by Festus and he's on trial again. And again, he declares the gospel. And Paul was going to speak about the gospel to the most powerful authorities in the world at that time. And probably he spoke to Nero in Nero's early years, because he had appealed to the emperor, and the emperor has the ultimate hearing. Paul went on from there, though history isn't clear, but eventually was executed, but not before he took the gospel to Spain and completed the work that God had for him. And the rubber company went on from there. Having faced all of that, God then blessed it, and everything started to change. There was a huge transformation at the rubber company. And over the next 5 years, it went from strength to strength. And it became something that became, Leicester University decided they want to study the transformation. And they went and talked to all the people, and they came back to me and said, where did you learn your Taguchi management? Now, this was state-of-the-art management, apparently. We were a T3 transition type. Now, people with PhDs understand this. But when I said to them, well, I learned all my management from the Old Testament and the New Testament, they looked slightly askew at me. They didn't think I was serious for a start. So I said, okay. So I talked through Moses and how he delegation, how he sought his father-in-law, taught him how to work with people and set up groups and so on and teams. I then went through some of the Proverbs and the wisdom from Proverbs. Then I finished by talking about Jesus, who spoke truth and love, the hard thing that needed saying, but in a way that people could really receive. And they realized I was serious. You know, I ended up talking to Leicester students and teaching them, speaking at quality events, and even on a panel that was organized by Sir Richard Branson. You know, God blessed what was done, but it was through a difficult time. Often we go through difficult times, but God has a purpose always in it. God knew what he was doing. Let's come back to what Paul teaches here, how we get through difficulty. Verse 17, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. There are times in life where people are not enough. In fact, if we depend on people, that can be dangerous, because people will let us down. People won't always be there for us. They won't always say the right thing. But God is there for us. And if we depend on Him, we can experience some of the most wonderful things that God can do. There was a place that David was familiar with in the Old Testament. While I was doing the preparation for this and the days before, I was reading Psalms, and particularly Psalms 53 to 63, where David describes his great moments of difficulty, difficult situations he was in. So, for example, Psalm 52, it's just after David went to Ahimelech the priest and was hungry and asked for some bread and a sword and took Goliath's sword. And Doeg the Edomite was there, and he went back to Saul and said what had happened. And Ahimelech and all his family were executed as a result. In Psalm 54, David went and hid amongst the Ziphites in a particular desert area. And they came along to Saul and said, "We know where he is. We'll help you find him." And Saul went with 3,000 of his premium troops. Psalm 55, a close friend has turned traitor. He says, "The one I used to share bread with has turned traitor." Psalm 56, the Philistines catched him in Gath, and he had to pretend to be mad to save his life. So let's look at a few examples. Psalm 57, when he had fled from Saul into the cave, what does he say? This is Saul going around the outside, and he withdrew and hid in a cave with his men as the troops passed by. Psalm 57, 2, "I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed." The shadow of your wings. It's a place of God's presence, God's covering. And then when Saul was sent men to watch David's house in order to kill him, waiting till he came out, Psalm 59:9 says, "O my strength, I watch for you. You, O God, are my fortress, my loving God." Psalm 61, verses 2 and 4. "From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." His heart is fainting, struggling with it, facing it. "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings." That's the place that David went to when he was in trouble. Psalm 62, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." If you read through the Psalms, about two-thirds of them, the psalmist is distressed and saying, "Why this? Why that? How do you?" God, step into it, crying. David learned to pour out his heart in that place of the shadow of God's wings, to draw close to him and to pour himself out and to receive that grace, that peace that Rachel was sharing about earlier on in her testimony, a peace that passes understanding. Psalm 63 says, "On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night," even when he was struggling, sleeping at night, the things that are happening. "Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." David describing the place he goes to when stuff is tough, when things are difficult, or we don't know how it's all going to end, where things are unexpected. We need to find that place of refuge, close to God, where we can be intimate with him on a regular basis, on a daily basis. I thought of a snail, how a snail has a shell, or a hermit crab carries a sort of shell. But, you know, it carries it with it all the time. And then when danger comes, as a kid, I used to like touching the snail's little things that come out the front and it would pull back. And if you touched them twice, it went back a lot further. And the third time you touched it, it went whew, inside the shell. That he carried its shell round with it all the time. So when difficult or trouble things came, could pull back into that shell. We need to be so familiar with the presence of God, that place of refuge in him that David speaks about, that we can pull back into it when stuff is tough. It needs to be a familiar place because we go there all the time. A little 2 years ago, Margot, my granddaughter, was aged two, and she got chicken pox, but it complicated, and it got into the lining between her chest and her lungs. And you can't get antibiotics in there very easily. They tried to put a drip on her. 25 times they had to pin her down while she screamed, and they tried to get this thing in. And it was difficult trying over days. And she became increasingly ill. And then for 14 days, I think she's 3 weeks altogether, for 14 days, she was in critical care unit. And about, I can't remember exactly, 8-9 days into that, things looked really difficult. And I just remember, I just went to the Lord, I just pulled into that shell, I just pleaded with him, and I spoke to him, and I poured out my heart to him. I said, Lord, you have to step into this situation. I cannot bear the thought of losing her. Lord, step into it. And as I was there praying in his presence, I felt like his hands come down. He said, take my arms. And it was like his wrists were here and his hands sort of oversized. And I just took hold and he lifted me. He pulled me up. And for the days after that, I was able, just when I was struggling, to go and take those hands. His presence was so real and so strong. And she started to recover and over the next few days came out of it. But going to that place in his presence when you're desperate, you will experience things of God that you will not experience at other times, in the easy times, taking hold of him and watching him do things. Psalm 48, David describes God like this. He says, walk about Zion, go round her, count her towers, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide forever. We need to study him. We need to get to know him. We need to look at him. We need to look at the things we know about him, the things we've seen him do, the things we have heard about him doing in others' lives, the things we read about in Scripture. We need to collect them and reflect on them. Like this tower, David says, you know, I walked about it, I've looked at it. God's nature, his character, his ways. We need to study and know them and look at him, to enjoy him, to appreciate his strength, to know who it is who's in charge, who has that power, who will care for us in that way. Psalm 66, just before preparing this message, I read this, and it's David actually describing what God takes us through sometimes for our growth, and it can be tough. He says, shout with joy to God of all the earth. Sing glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works on behalf of man. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. Does that sound like your place at work sometimes, or your finances, or the struggles to pay the mortgage? You know, the pressures that come on us, the difficulties that come on us, the unfairness sometimes. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. God always brings us through. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he's done for me. If I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Life can be tough, but God is in charge. He has a place of rest for us. And it's a place close to him. We need to spend time in it so that when difficulty comes, we can run into that shelter. We can find that strength. Sam, my son, rang me at this point in the preparation, and he's talking about his business. And we talked through some of the things he was facing, the difficulties. It's a small business. He's taken on 2 employees. He's desperate to get orders in that will pay for those employees. And we just talked about this passage. And then he said to me at night, a little while back, he said, I had 2 big contracts I was expecting to land. And in the same week, I lost both of them. And I suddenly wondered, was my business going to survive? And he said, at night, I would wake up. He said, and then I just turned to God, and I found that place alongside him, and I was able to go back to sleep. And I thought, how fabulous. He has learned to draw into that place with God where he can find peace in these difficult times and know that God will bring him through it. Friends are great, and we need them, but they're not enough. They cannot always be there. Paul was deserted, but he knew the place of refuge, and God stood alongside him. That verse 17, but the Lord stood at my side, and gave me strength, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. Let's go and build that place in his presence, and learn to go to it, where we can cry, where we can laugh, where we can appreciate him, when we can hear how much he loves us, where we can tell him our troubles, where we can be comforted. Try and find a place free of distractions. I have 2 chairs that I like to go and sit on and sit back, and I'll get a coffee first thing in the morning and just spend time reading and praying in God's presence. Just getting close to him. But it's not always been that easy. When I was working, when I was first working especially, I used to try and pull up in a gateway somewhere on the way to work. Kind of spend time with God. And before that, I didn't have a place at work I could go, and I found that people weren't on the loo first in the morning, so if I got there a little bit early from the chaos of the house I was in, I could go and sit on the loo where it was quiet. And every day I would sit there and just meet with God. And sometimes it's just to listen to a hymn or a verse. Sometimes it's a poem. Sometimes it's just reading scripture. But just meeting with him, having that time, where he can speak to our hearts, where he can tell us how much he loves us, how much he cares, and we can understand that. We need to be close. Jesus in John 15 to 17 says, it's better that I go because the Holy Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit is the one called alongside, the one who comes to replace the physical presence of Jesus, who can be real to us in our hearts. He's called the Paraclete, the one called alongside. In Romans, it says, we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to say. It says, you know, God, the Spirit of God, will pray for us with groans too deep for words, because his Spirit knows our spirit and can communicate with God. 1 Corinthians 2, it talks about how God's Spirit presses on our spirit and our spirit presses on his. God wants us to know that we are loved. He wants us to know that he is there. But only in getting into his undistracted presence will you feel that and know that for yourself. Only you spend time with him will you start to believe how much he loves you. Our biggest struggle in life is to believe that he loves us, that he actually cares. Because we see our sin and our inadequacy and all that, all the things we get wrong. But he loves us to bits. But read Ephesians, all of it. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, where he talks about how loved we are, what a privilege it is to be known by him and to know him, how he wants us to know that within our inner person. Go to that place where he can touch you. Grow your shell and use it so you can run back into it when you need to do so. Find that place, the shadow of his wings, is the phrase that David used again and again. There's a verse I love in Lamentations. I'm going to close with this. Lamentations, the title says it all, doesn't it? Book of Calamity. And there in chapter 3, 22 to 24, it says this. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. God belongs to you. He's given himself to you. He wants you to know him, to enjoy him. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. As Pauline says to me, you know, trying to get in this place of presence, there's so many distractions. Sometimes it takes a while. It took me a while this morning. I wanted to pray about this morning, and I was distracted and worrying about this and that. I hate speaking. I get all nervous, and all these things I might get wrong, and all the rest. And, you know, and all that stuff was in the way. And eventually, just waiting, I broke through. And I could gaze into his face and said, Father, thank you. You're there for me. Lord, this is yours. It's not for me to speak. It's for you to speak through me. And I met him there. Let's get to that place of his presence. Let's close the word of prayer. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Father, you are so precious. We just thank you, Father, that you love us, each of us, individually. And Father, you want to stand alongside us. You want to be with us as you were with Paul, to carry him through the time that was difficult, when he faced anguish and difficulty, false accusations that threatened his life. Father, you were there. Lord, our problems are often not on that scale, but they still worry us. They still hurt us. And Father, you are there for us now. Father, help us to find that place close to you, in the shadow of your wings, where we can pour out our thoughts and feelings and hear your voice. Hear your love. Feel your arms around us. Father, it's a precious place, and I pray that you teach and help each of us to regularly go to that place and to know your love. Father, thank you. Lord, you're just magic. In Jesus' name.